eventually pressured Erbakan to resign and influenced the outlawing of the welfare and the imprisonment of some of its leaders. By the mid-1990s, Islamic activists could be found, though, as people who had been or were in the executive. Erbakan in Turkey, Anwar Ibrahim, the deputy prime minister of Malaysia, and the first president, eventually, of Indonesia, Abdurrahman Wahid, as well as in cabinets and parliaments of many countries. At the same time, radical extremist groups continued to use violence and terror to destabilize Muslim governments and attack American and Western interests. Egypt's Islamic Jihad and Gamma Islamiyah, the Islamic group, attacked Christian churches and businesses, slaughtered tourists and government officials. Other extremists were convicted in America and Europe for the bombing of New York's World Trade Center in 1993 and plotting to attack major American sites. Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda emerged as a major supporter of global terrorism in a series of attacks against American military barracks and ships, which they either conducted or approved of in Saudi Arabia, in Yemen, and against American embassies in Africa in 1998, leading some governments and analysts to identify Islamic fundamentalism wholesale as a major threat to global stability, not to distinguish between mainstream and extremist. And this is a critical and important issue. We'll see this played out in our later lectures. What I've tried to talk about in this session is the fact that in the late 1980s and 1990s, we see that Islamic activist groups, what are popularly called Islamic fundamentalism groups or Islamic fundamentalism, some refer to it as political Islam, some refer to it as Islamism or refer to Islamist groups. But be that as it may, these Islamic activist groups have often been put under one umbrella, been seen monolithically as simply militant groups. When in fact, if we look at the facts on the ground, we see that yes, a minority have been and continue to be extremists who threaten, I might note, first and foremost, until recently, their own societies, their own governments, their own people. And secondarily, those governments that support, that is, those outside Western governments that support governments that are regarded in the region as authoritarian. Therefore, if you are against the Egyptian government or the Saudi government, your first goal, if you're an extremist, is your ruler. But secondarily, you will go against those governments who are seen as politically, economically, or militarily supporting the regime to the extent that they provide military arms. These military arms are seen as not just being used out there against outside enemy, but being used by military and security forces at home. But what we see in the 80s and 90s is clear evidence that a majority of Islamic activist groups are not simply restricted to the marginalized, to the few, to the alienated on the periphery of society, but are mainstream, function in mainstream society, function nonviolently in mainstream society. They, in fact, come to constitute this alternative elite. They're comprised not just of the poor and the dispossessed, the disenfranchised, but they turn out to be from the middle class, even from the upper class. They draw people who are prominent businessmen, lawyers, judges, people who run banks and institutions. And so this becomes a crux to understanding the dynamics of the late 20th century and the early 21st century. Because as Islamic activist groups emerged in the post-Cold War as mainstream and stunned both their governments and Western governments when elections were held, and remember, as I pointed out in today's class, these were authoritarian governments, most of whom had never held elections and certainly didn't intend to implement a democratic form of government. Because when they were stunned and saw that these Islamic groups could run, even though the state often controlled access to the media, the state often could intimidate those who would vote for Islamist parties, when they saw that they emerged as an opposition, even a minority opposition, shortly afterwards, they shut down their systems, often charging that they discovered that all of these groups were, in fact, wolves in sheep's clothing, that is, really extremists who were just acting like Democrats.